I appreciate the things that God has already given us today about fighting a good fight of faith and not giving up and pushing forward. It's exactly what the Lord gave me too. So I'm going to take this and continue on, give you some more scriptures. I'd like to start with Exodus chapter 14, verse 15. Exodus chapter 14, verse 15. The setting here is that the Israelites had left Egypt and the Egyptians fled after them. And they caught them in the wilderness there with the mountains on either side and the Red Sea ahead of them. And the Egyptians behind them, and they were stuck. And they felt like that it was useless for them to have been delivered, and that they wished they would have stayed back behind in Egypt after all God had done for them. And they jumped on Moses, and Moses cried to the Lord. Moses said unto the people in verse 13, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, which he will show to you this day. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore, why you cry unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward." Here it seemed impossible to go forward. And we're going to come into times like this too, where we're being compassed all about with enemies, obstacles, hindrances. And the Lord still says to us, "Go forward." How do I do that, Lord? How do I go forward in this situation? "Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." Later on, I read in Deuteronomy chapter 2, again, he wanted them to get out of the place where they were and go forward. Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 2. "The Lord spake unto me, saying, Ye have encompassed this mountain long enough. Turn ye northward." Isn't that quite something for God to say to you? "You've been here long enough. You've gone round and round enough. Enough. Now go forward. Go north." He gave them a direct command to get up, to leave where they had been. They'd made some ruts in there. "It's time for you to get out of the rut and go north." In Philippians chapter 3, Paul speaks of forward movement of the Christian. His own Christian experience, he began to explain that he was after something. He was in reach of something. So he says, verse 12, Philippians 3 and 12, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus." So the Lord Jesus had something. He laid hold upon Paul, and Paul was to lay hold upon the prize. He said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." There's a mark and a goal that we have set for ourselves, that God has set for us. He apprehended us for a reason. Now we want to We want to grasp and apprehend that for which we've been apprehended, the goal, the mark of eternal life. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I believe also 2 Corinthians, or is it 1 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race, they all run, they run all, but one receiveth the prize. So in a natural race, in the Olympics, in track, you have a prize for which the runners are seeking, and they run, but they don't hand out a prize to everybody. You don't get a prize for effort in this one. You get a prize for running the race, for finishing. You don't get a prize for entering. You get a prize for finishing. So we all want to finish. We want to finish strong. We want to finish well. So run that ye may obtain. I run, Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize. This says, run that ye may obtain. Do the kind of running that gets you the prize. And what is that? It's a type of running that's focused. It's the type of running that sets aside distractions, discouragements, hindrances. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it. They go ahead and lay aside fleshly indulgences. Those athletes that we know about today, basketball players, baseball players, runners, those athletes do it. They put forth the effort. They are temperate in all things. They eat right, they exercise, they show up for all of the skirmishes, all of the practice sessions. They do it. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown. They do it for the garland, for the trophy. It can be torn up. It can be lost. They do it. Why can't we? He's saying, we do it to obtain an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. I have a certain goal in mind. I have something specific for which I am running. Not uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Christian race. The spiritual warfare. We have a goal in mind and a prize in view. We want to run so that we can obtain. We want to run not uncertainly and not be a fighter who just whoops on the air. What good is that? But we want to strike blows to the enemy. We want to be on the Lord's side because He's fighting for us. We just want to be on His side and we want to run. One song we sing in our book says, I now am running in the Christian race to gain the promised prize.
Jesus matchless saving
keeping grace. Yes, thank you.
What crown means?
Through Jesus matchless saving keeping grace. We'll see that prize. We'll obtain it. The grace of God is sufficient. It's sufficient for us. He will fight for you, He told the Israelites.
Oh, it says we'll crown Him in disguise.
We'll crown Him in disguise. We'll reach the triumph and we'll be in the winner's circle with Jesus. Jesus said there in Revelations, let me read that. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with the Father in his throne. Jesus has a place for us. The winner's circle We want to win Christ, and He, when He wins us, we win. When we're surrendered, when we're captured by Him, He's apprehended us, then we can win. Thank the Lord. Well, there's some more scriptures. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Let's not just go real fast past these words, but these are important words. Forgetting those things which are behind. Failures and successes. We can't dwell on our successes. We'll get distracted. We can't think about the good things that we have done, because the thing that we must think about is pressing until we obtain. Thinking about some of the good things that we've done won't help us, except to know that God was with us, and that's what we need. Thinking about failures won't help us either. How much encouragement do you get by thinking about the things that you should have done better? You don't get a lot of encouragement that way, do you? But when you think about the prize that's waiting and the goal set for us, Jesus said, Hebrews chapter 12, let's read that one. Well, this is the Hebrews writer. I'll say it was Jesus, but I meant the thought of looking unto Jesus. Chapter 12, verse 2. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. There's the focus right there. We can't look behind us. We can't look, actually, to look forward and to think about, oh, so much ground to gain, so much road to run. That might discourage you too, but when you look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, He authored it, He began us in the way, He started us out, He put us in the race, and now He's going to finish it with us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now here's what helped Him to win, to gain us, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. So we want to look to Him and consider Him, and consider what He went through and how He finished. He finished our faith for us. Some of the last words of the cross. Remember, seven last sayings of Christ. One of them is, "It is finished." He went all the way. He went to the garden. He didn't stop at the garden. He went to the judgment hall of Pilate, Herod the king. He stood the test. He went all the way, and He did it for the joy that was set before Him. That was His prize, was the joy of our salvation, the joy of overcoming the enemy of all souls, the joy of banishing our sins, the joy of vanquishing the enemy. He could see that ahead of Him, and He went all the way for us. He went a little farther. Each time He realized there's a little bit farther to go, and He went. And oh, how He could say, "It is finished." I think about a time there when He said to his disciples, "The things concerning me have an end." In another place he said, "I must walk today and tomorrow. I must do this. One day at a time, I'll get it done." And he did. "I must walk today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall arise." I'm not sure where that is, but I've just recently read it. Well, if anybody finds that, you tell me where that is. I must walk today.
Luke 13:33.
Thank you. Luke 13. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. He said, "I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected." Another place he said, "The things concerning me have an end." We need his mind. We need his follow through. We need his steadfast spirit and resolve. The way that they told him, he told him that he would suffer in Jerusalem and be put to death by the people, and then that he just set his face steadfastly to go there. Paul also did. Paul said, "I go to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will befall me there, except that in every place the Holy Spirit works and witnesses to me that there are sufferings." And he determined to go. They tried to get him not to go, but he said, "No, I'm going to go." Speak to the children of Israel that they go forward. Let us have a mind to go forward, even though we know that there's dangers ahead. It's not that we place ourselves in dangers, but when we realize, Jesus told us, "If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. The world hasn't loved me, it won't love you either." So we determine to follow our Master and keep going, go forward. The Lord gives us some daunting tasks many times. But I remember something that I read when I was very young. It says, "Lord, don't give me powers. No, don't give me tasks equal to my powers. Give me powers equal to my tasks." That's what we want to pray today. I want to be able to say, like Jesus, "It is finished." Or like Paul, was it he said, 2 Timothy chapter 4? Verse 7, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." We must go on for that crown of life that he has promised to all that love his appearing. I want to be able to say, when I lay my head down or whatever happens in my future, "I have fought a good fight." There was set against me a hard enemy, and I fought it. I fought this thing and that thing. I resisted this temptation and that thought of all kinds. discouragement, pride, arrogance. I resisted all of it. I put down all of those thoughts that the enemy brought against me. I have fought a good fight. I think Timothy, or Paul told Timothy this in chapter 6 of 1 Timothy, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I want, when the last mile of the way comes and it's a hard mile, I don't want to lay down and give up at that time. And everyone who has heard my profession and knows, I'm just speaking generally here for us all, everyone who has seen us and that we started out, I've started out to win this race, to serve the Lord and look upon His face. Well, the way's been long and the way's been rough. I'm not giving up. We want to fight the good fight. That last mile is the hardest, maybe. But we don't want to give up on that last mile. We've professed a good profession before many witnesses. We want to show God's grace, God's saving, keeping grace. My Sunday school teacher as a child, she had a little saying that she would say. My dad said it too. I want to see the end of a successful Christian race. And I do too. I believe she put that little fight in me. Sister Dilly. I believe it's Ephesians 6 talking about the battle that we have. Wherefore, verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Ecclesiastes, we read this on Wednesday at the funeral. Ecclesiastes talks about, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. The years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I don't have any pleasure. This isn't bringing me any pleasure to live this day. He said, before that happens, remember your Creator. Get on His side. Get completely on His side. And take Him as your captain and as your fellow, be His fellow soldier. Fight His battle. Join His army. Put on His armor. And then go to it. Show up. Suit up. Show up. Lord, help us. That battle, we won't fail in our post of duty. We want to fight the good fight of faith. I'm thinking about the song that we sang on Wednesday, Brother Earl's favorite song that he would call. Let us not forget that. Number 223. He liked that song, and it's got some good words in it. I mean to go right on until the crown is won. I mean to fight the fight of faith till life on earth is done. I'll never more turn back. Defeat I shall not know. Let us take that aim and that purpose into our own hearts and lives today. It's up to us to stand by that purpose. And the fight songs that we sang today, stand up for Jesus. The strife will not be long. This day, the noise of battle. The next, the victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally. Forward, forward is the battle cry. Onward, onward to our home on high. Philippians 1 and chapter 1 and verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Whatever day it is for us that we go and meet the Lord, or he comes for us, we hear the trumpet sound, we hear the last trump, however it is, we want to go forward until that day. We don't want to quit. We don't want to preempt God and what his purpose is, but we want to hold on and triumph and overcome in Jesus' might. He will perform it. He said, the Lord shall fight for you and ye shall hold your peace. Thank the Lord. Not too long ago, we had a message of the patient continuance in well-doing. We want to do that. We want to be holding fast for the prize and also to continue doing good deeds as we go for others, for the gospel. Patient continuance in well-doing. The story about the seed. The sower sows the seed, that which is on good ground, are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Let us do that. Not just a prize we're working for, but we want to bring forth fruit along the way. We want to help and gain souls. We want to have a harvest that we can bring forth for the Lord. People that we can influence. Prayers that we can pray for others and for the Lord's work. We want to have to fight the good fight of faith. I noticed in the lesson earlier that, and Beverly brought this out too, that David, when he was so discouraged, he encouraged himself in the Lord. How can you do that? How can you encourage yourself in the Lord? When things get rough for us, and if nobody pays us any attention, if it seems like that everything, everyone has turned against us, how can we encourage ourselves in the Lord? What can we do? What are the positive things that you can do? Now come on, I know you do this. You're still fighting and you're still here. Tell me how.
I think the scriptures that the Lord has inspired with in the past.
Yes. Past scriptures of inspiration. Recall them. What else? Dig into the Word. Past scriptures, but now you need something current. You need something present that you can look at and find. So seeking the Lord and remembering what he's already done. What else?
Pray.
What do we pray? Do we pray to God and say, why have you brought me here? Why am I suffering? Yeah, you can do that. Be prepared for God's answer. God may answer in a way that mystifies us. But we can still pray. We can pray. Take it all to the Lord in prayer. Leave it there. Anyone else?
Listening to songs that glorify God.
Listening to songs that glorify God. And then what? Just listen to other people singing? Praising the Lord. I wanted to hear that one. I had someone tell me that they were in depression and very depressed, almost to the point of not wanting to eat or not able to sleep. And she said what helped her was to praise the Lord. In fact, the Lord came to her and said, "Praise the Lord." Sometimes that's the hardest time to praise the Lord, but it's a very important time to praise and be thankful for what God has done. But praise the Lord right in the face of opposition. Another little tidbit from the story of the parable of the sower is that he sowed seed that fell on ground that was rocky. There was no depth of earth. So when the rain came, that little bit of 1 or 2 inches of ground got wet, and then it dried up so quickly that the germinating seed couldn't get life and grow. And it couldn't send down roots to the water down below because there were rocks beneath the surface. And so he said, "These have no root, and for a while believe, but in the time of temptation, fall away." Jesus also mentioned a man who didn't count the cost, that after a while, he quit going. He quit building. Jesus said, count the cost. Before you start, realize what it's going to take to finish. Because the thing is, we want to finish. We want the prize. We want to reach the goal. So count the cost. Send down your roots. Get the rocks out of the soil. And be able to endure. Endure. Jesus said, what is it in Matthew 24? He said, many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Enduring to the end. That's what we want to do. And if it wasn't a case of enduring, he wouldn't have said it like this. But we have things that we're going to have to endure. I believe it was Fanny Crosby's grandmother or mother said, what can't be cured must be endured. I believe there's a song that says, if he cannot keep you from, he'll keep you through. He'll keep you through the trials and the hardships and the battles. If he will not keep you from, if you come up to it and realize, I've got to go through this, the Lord will take you through it. He will. He'll take you from beginning to end. Scripture in Deuteronomy talks about the year. When you're at the new year and you look forward to the days ahead, realize that the Lord he keeps that year from beginning unto end. He'll keep you through that year. Thank the Lord. We just started the new year, and here we are nearly to May. And he has kept us through this first 4 months. Thank the Lord. He'll take you all the way through this year. Sometimes when we're homeschoolers, we did three children, schooled them at home, took them through. And when you're at the beginning of the year, your hopes are so high, and yet you think, whew, how am I going to do a whole year of this? You get to the middle part where you have a break, and you think, oh, we're halfway done. We've got 6 more months or 5 more months. Whew, how are we going to do this? One day at a time, little by little, inch by inch. By the yard, it's hard. By the inch, it's a cinch. Don't stare up the stairs, but take the steps. Just take the steps. What? Just step up the steps. Right. Oh, thank God. These are not just good thoughts. This is battle action. This is how we make it. It's hard. It's difficult. But Scripture says that we read, they do it. The athletes do it. And they win the prizes and the garlands and the trophies. They do it. They go ahead and put themselves into that self-denial that it takes. And they get those prizes. Thank the Lord. We can do it too. There are many reasons for courage this morning. We can look back in the book of Joshua where the Lord told Joshua, the one you've always followed, your mentor, my servant Moses, is dead. Was there still reason for Joshua to go forward without Moses? Yes, think of all, when you look back on it, you know the end of the story. Joshua did not. But when you look back on Joshua's life, all that was ahead of him from that point on. But you know what God said? Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. He wanted Joshua to keep going forward. He said, be of good courage. Let's get some of those admonitions. Be of good courage, God spake unto Joshua. What's the rest of that, Valerie?
I'm sorry, I was distracted.
Be of good courage. God spake unto Joshua.
Keep going up the mountains. I caused our winter, the mountains I caused you to go.
Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes on things thought impossible, unreachable, things that you just can't do this any longer. Yes, you can. You can go one more step. Your foot can tramp upon one more piece of ground, and it's yours. He said, be strong and of a good courage. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. We are so crowned with his promises. We have hope. We have initiative. We have the command to go forward. He said, turn not. Well, let's start the beginning of the seventh verse. Be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Verse 8. Observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Oh, if he can just be with us, if we can just stay with him, that he says, I'm with you and I'm for you. The Lord is for you. He's for your success and he's divinely appointed for your success and for your finishing your battle. I want to go to Proverbs. Proverbs 23:17. Let not thine heart envy sinners, But be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. In this race that we're going, we can't look out, as someone said in an old song, while there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong. We can't look at them and envy their easy ways, can we? Because we know, what does he say here? For surely there is an end. There's a reward. There's an end. And it's coming. And thine expectation or thy hope shall not be cut off. Oh, let's remember, there's an end. There is a hope. And it's coming. And he's with me. Wherever I go, he is with us. Thank the Lord. This song that I referred to, let's sing it as closing. Number 223. It talks about persecution. It talks about opposition. Running through all of that and finishing your course. Should opposition come? Should foes obstruct my way? Should persecution's fires be lit? Have you read much of Pilgrim's Progress? That's a whole book of this journey. And the different things that he brings out in there very much mirror our Christian experience. Remember when he came to a place where he realized that there were two lions on either side of the path. But he had to keep going. What did he discover about the lions? They were chained. They couldn't reach him. But they were there to daunt him. They were there to discourage him. But if he went on and went forward, he could make it. Thank the Lord. What about the time when he realized he had left something behind? His role. And he had to go back and get it. Did he let that discourage him? Did he just say, oh, I'll just forget it. I'll just give up. No, he went back and got it and went forward again. He didn't let those things discourage him. What about the whisperings in his ears as he went through the valley of the shadow? The imps jumped on his shoulders and whispered in his ears and made it sound like it was his own thoughts. That's what many times we go through that. It sounds like our own thoughts of discouragement and that I want to turn back and go away. But it's the enemy whispering in our ears. He resisted that and he kept going. And he kept going. And he kept going. Thank the Lord. Should opposition come? Should foes obstruct my way? How about Apollyon when he met the greatest foe ever? Apollyon. Apollyon just about got him. He had him down. He had him pinned. He was bleeding. He thought he was gone. He summoned a little bit more strength, grabbed his sword, and thrust Apollyon through. We're going to have days like that too. Summon that last little bit of strength that you don't know you have and give the enemy a deadly thrust. And put your faith in the Lord and call upon the Lord. Don't give up. Should opposition come, should foes obstruct my way, should persecution's fires be lit? Remember Polycarp? He was a real man. This is no allegory. But Polycarp was a real disciple back in the very early church ages. Polycarp was tied to the stake. They were going to burn him. They lit the fires. And they pierced him through with a sword. His blood ran out and put out the fire. Should persecution's fires be lit as in the ancient day, like Polycarp, with Jesus by my side and his peace within my soul, no matter if the battle's hot, I mean to win the goal. Finishing is everything to us. We must not give up for any kind of opposition or persecution. Feelings. No matter what, we must not stop. We must not quit. Rest if you must, says the little poem, but do not quit. I see a shining crown awaiting over there. I see a mansion all prepared and decked with beauties rare. Shall that which intervenes deprive me of my right? Oh, that makes me think of a verse in Psalms, chapter 148, I believe. Psalms 149, verse 5, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. This talks about the way to do warfare, doesn't it? To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people. He's talking about the opposition from idol worshipers, the heathen, the people. He's talking about spiritual foes here. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. To execute upon them the judgment written. This is what I was thinking of. This honor have all his saints. You don't have to think, oh, I can't do this. I'm too weak. I'm too ignorant. I'm too foolish. No. This honor to have the high praise of God in our mouth and the two-edged sword in our hand and to do vengeance for God's gospel and for the sake of, for our soul's sake. This honor have all his saints. Thank the Lord. You too. Me too. Thank God. Praise ye the Lord. Well, I'm going to leave that with you. This word of go forward. Speak to the children of Israel that they go forward. You've encompassed this mountain long enough. You've been at this place in your spiritual experience long enough. It's time to go forward. You've battled this foe long enough. You'll have a new foe, no doubt. But this one, farewell to him. And you go forward. Thank the Lord. Amen. I'm going to go from here and I'm going to obey my own preaching. Let's pray for each other because we're all in a fight. What did the scripture say there in 1 Peter 5 and 8? Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Well, we need to have this in our minds. It's not going to be me. Amen. I'm going forward and I'm going to be vigilant and aware. And then it said about remembering our brethren. They're all in the fight with us. There's others who have it worse than we do. There are people whose circumstances are far worse than ours. And they're having courage and they're going forward. Let's remember that. He said, I don't want to just quote it. I want to read it And remember what it said. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. These same afflictions that we're having. Persecution. There's more persecution in our day than ever in the past. People are fighting foes that people in the past never fought. Let us remember our brethren in the world are, these afflictions are being accomplished in them. We're not the only ones. There's some worse than us. In our Bible, the reason why we have this printed word is because of all that others went through for us to get us this word. Starting with John the Baptist and Stephen, Jesus, all of those right there within the scriptures, they went through so much for this gospel. And they counted it a blessing. They counted it, well, how did the disciples, it tells how the disciples took it. Rejoicing that they were accounted worthy to suffer for his name. That's what it says about the saints there in the book of Acts. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. Let's not give up. Let's not complain. Let's not be discouraged. Think that God is not with us. Tempt God. Let's not do that. Let's be courageous and obedient and go forward. We will not gain a thing by staying stagnant and unbelieving, but we have everything to gain, nothing to lose, everything to gain by going forward. You'll gain strength, you'll gain courage, you'll gain fellow soldiers, you'll help pull others along, you'll gain the victory. We have everything to gain and nothing to lose by going forward. Amen. My purpose and duty this morning was to encourage, to exhort. Come alongside, brethren, soldiers. Let's fight this. Let's do this. Let's see the end. Together, we're praying for you. Pray for us. Let's get this done. Amen. Amen. I'd like to sing number 223 if we can, please.